This is the order of battle.
Since we've all heard from all the other G.I. Joe podcasts and YouTube channels, we thought it would be interesting to let A give the breakdown for PulseCon in 1027. His is the only kid view where Joel and I and all of the podcasts and YouTube channels out there come from the adult perspective. A, tell us about PulseCon and 1027 from your perspective.
We just had PulseCon and a 1027 Hasbro event. The G.I. Joe, they released for Classified a V1 Storm Shadow. I cannot express my excitement enough. This guy's pretty awesome. On to Spirit and Freedom. When I saw this, I was like, wait a minute. Can Spirit fit on stuff? That was like my first thought. Other than, we get a Spirit. I wish it would have been one of those glider spirits. Plus, I was excited that we got a Spirit, because we don't have many spirits in 3 3/4, which is, Spirit is a really cool guy. I really just wish we had more spirits. And when I saw that Spirit had interchangeable wings, I was like, ain't Freedom? This is probably one of the best Spirit and Freedoms ever. It was so exciting. Now, Croc-Master Fiona, at the recap of G.I. Joe 6-inch, the host was saying Fiona, she said Fiona Applegator, and Dad explained to me that there was a famous singer named Fiona Apple. I can't wait for this thing to get here. Target's new stuff. New Cobra Island figures, but it's not Cobra Island. It's Typhorce versus Python Patrol. First thing they revealed was Tiger Force Outback. In 3 3/4, this was a strictly UK figure. When they released this, I was excited. I am getting my TFAP Outback right now, and I'm going to put him right in my shirt. But I didn't put him in my shirt. I just sat him on the desk. We were watching it on the TV. Now, Python Patrol Bat. They revealed, pre-order started, but only the original Bat was actually a reveal, not thing. Not a immediately available. PB Outback. Ain't Bat. It's a V1 Bat, but with different colors. And I liked how on both bats, there was a upside down peg and two up pegs. He had two hands, a claw, the flamethrower, and the laser. PB Viper. AKA Python Patrol Bat. Ain't Viper. V1 Viper, but in Python Patrol colors. I really dig that gun. Also like the backpack. The only thing I really don't like about this thing is that he had the goggles that the V1 Viper came with. Those things do not stay on at all. Not at all. Every time they come off, it's almost impossible to get them back on. It's just not cool. Okay, regular bat. Same feelings as the PB bat. Color Chain Zartan exclusive. This was a big thing for me. That skull face is awesome! crazy awesome. Though I wish it covered its face more. The Blind Master face doesn't fit in the pack. It doesn't. It seriously, literally does not. Oh, yeah, and if you put him in the freezer for 5 minutes, he'll be blue. Now, 3¾! Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes 2-pack. Could have done something different, because Snake Eyes is the guy with the most versions, and Storm Shadow still has a bunch of versions, but I still really dig this. They could have done, like, a Tollbooth and Hardtop pack. That would have been sick. I'm not saying this isn't cool. This is amazing. Okay, this is the thing I was most excited about in all of Folsom and 27. Hazlab Sky Striker. I have all the domestic Sky Strikers and one foreign. This is going to be a great addition. In that it comes with two figures instead of one. It has new parachutes. Oh yeah, it comes with Ace. Co-pilot Wayne. It's got three stretch goals. It's got so many missiles. It's got blast effects. It's got new seats and parachutes and stuff. It's got a new type of stand. One of the things that excited me a lot was the stretch goals. I think the first stretch goal was... No, I think the last stretch goal was deck crew, but I'm just going to do these. Deck Crew, Flight Suit, Scarlet, and Night Force Tricorder. Deck Crew. We've needed these for a while. Flight Suit, Scarlet. In their cartoons and stuff, Scarlet was one of the best pilots. But she was always going in her normal clothes. That's why we've always needed Flight Suit, Scarlet. So they gave us one. But sadly, it's a stretch goal. Boo. Don't make it a stretch goal. We have needed one of these. Same thing with Night Force Ripcord. These guys are insanely sick. I mean, like, really. Sick, 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 sick. I dig it. Really, all of the reveals I loved. Now, a Hazlab Rancor. This one is sweet. One of the main things I wanted from this was the Droid 5-pack. I literally don't have many droids, and I really like the, Clone Wars, so I also like the clones and the 6-inch figures and stuff. In the Creature 6-pack, that is going to be amazing. Mace Windu. I need a Mace Windu. He's all over Clone Wars. He has one of my favorite battalions, which is the battalion led by Pawns. And there's Obi-Wan. I don't got an Obi-Wan, and I need an Obi-Wan. All these Star Wars reveals I really liked as well. Now, 1027! Since we're currently in the Star Wars spirit, let's start with Star Wars instead of G.I. Joe. These are the two most things I was so excited about in this 1027. We've needed these. We've got Bad Batch Omega and Bad Batch Echo. Though he never uses the claw thing in the cartoon, it's still amazing. That claw arm is pretty sick. Omega. I like that she has the bow. I wonder if they made the bow closed up. I never really got a good look at it. Or open, but just not pulled back. I like how they got the gas mask. Even though we only see that like once or twice, it's still a really good addition. Same thing with the pet. Sadly, I don't remember its name. I'm kicking myself for that. Okay. Bib Fortuna. This is the guy I so do not want, but I just wanted to express my feelings about him. Insanely ugly. But some people might not say that. G.I. Joe, Cobra Officer. I was like, wait, what? Okay, I'm cool with that. I want an officer. This is awesome. I'm really excited about that. I've been waiting for this. I don't know how long I can say I have been waiting for an Alley Viper. They've been on the card since day one, and I like how they did the classic shield and the classic paint and stuff. I love the Alley Viper. He's one of my favorite Cobras. I love this Alley Viper. Well, that's it for 1027 and PulseCon. Bye.
Since everybody else has covered Hasbro Pulse and 1027 before you and I sat down to do it, just our recording schedule, I let A cover that for us because I find it much more interesting to hear the only child perspective we're going to hear in our community. The rest of us are all, you know, grown folk. So I'm more curious, like, out of everything, what was your favorite thing? Like, what's the thing that sparked you the most? I know you pre-ordered everything. So did I, like, of course.
It's probably a tie, a three-way tie. No, strike that from the record. You can leave it on the record. Outback is number one, and the Bat and Alley Viper are tied for number two.
Okay.
Tiger Force Outback, I love that it appears they're shifting. Well, I mean, not that it appears. We know that Target is shifting to Tiger Force and Python Patrol. And I like that instead of them giving us basically a classified version one of Beachhead as an exclusive, now we're getting alternate deco Outback as an exclusive. A safe assumption would tell you we're going to get standard deco Outback mass release.
Sure. So the Bat and Outback were the two things that captured you the most.
And the Alley Viper.
And the Alley Viper, which is not up for pre-order.
Yes, or the standard deco Bat. Of course, I have to have a nitpick or a complaint. I do wish Alley Viper's helmet was removable, like the modern 25th / Pursuit of Cobra style.
I don't have that Alley Viper, so I wasn't aware of that. So it did not trigger me at all. I was just looking at it from a 1989 perspective.
I say this, but I'm not going to miss that when that figure's in hand. That thing looks gorgeous.
Sure.
That's more or less me being like, I love accessories. I think Outback really, I don't know, it hit every box that I like. It's modernized, but it's not too modernized. It's, I don't know, I'm excited. The face sculpt is
gorgeous.
Gorgeous. What about you? What was your number one takeaway from the event?
When they announced the O-ring, you know, A started freaking out, and I did too. And when they announced the Sky Striker, he did the faux, like, fainting death thing and slid to the couch. I put a small video on Twitter of it because I thought it was funny. So for me, it was the Sky Striker. You know, I have all 9 U.S. domestic releases of the Sky Striker, and I have the Fun School. I'm still looking for Takara, Venezuela, or Rupala, Brazil, and I think there's a box difference, but I don't know if there's a plane difference for the UK. So I'm looking for those, and I'm sure I'm probably missing a couple. I've heard conflicting reports of the Sky Strikers in Canada coming with Canadian stickers, or no, they never did, and those are custom. If they came with Canadian military stickers, then I would have to find a Canadian Sky Striker. And then we have all the pilots. You know, we walked down Brazilian Sky Patrol because of Sky Strikers. So the Sky Striker means a lot to me, and I was excited by it. I don't think it's a super necessary thing, and it's a weird HasLab. And I think it's weird because looking across the board at every other HasLab project, the item itself was worth the HasLab money, whereas the Sky Striker is only worth $230 if you include the 2 maintenance vehicles, the stand, and the 2 figures. It's not worth it on its own. But I'm super excited about it. And that was the one thing that hit me the best between Hasbro Pulse Con and 1027. You know, I got my pre-orders in. And the one thing that was disappointing to me is that we could only do 1 Zartan. I wanted 2.
At this point in time, I have pre-ordered everything but the Sky Striker.
I'm in for 2 Sky Strikers. I wanted 5, but I'm also in for 2 Robo Skulls, which I also wanted 5. You know, there's a bit of a balance. And I keep telling you every, what, day? Every other day? I don't know. I tell you a lot how broke I am. So...
The HasLab announcement and the wordage used around, like, the rebirth or rebrand of the retro line is a very hard subject for me.
Sure. I mean, you're a 4-inch guy, and it does not look 4-inch compatible.
I'm going to just go ahead and say it's not, because the seats, this is speculation based on images. The seats have vintage style back pegs. They didn't increase the size of the Sky Striker. So historically speaking, when they re-released the Sky Striker for the modern era, it was a cockpit for one pilot. Before I go into this tear, I want to say full disclosure, I'm going to end up backing the Sky Striker, even though I don't want to.
You shouldn't have FOMO, dude. We've talked about this with Mezco.
Yeah, I know, but I bought the Super 7 G.I. Joe. I bought the 3-0 G.I. Joe. I'm going to buy the Sky Striker. And it's not a modern versus vintage thing. Yes, that my feelings are a little bit hurt and sour, because from the language used, it's a safe assumption that I'm not going to see much more in terms of 4-inch Joes. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. And this is also coming from the standpoint of I haven't really been loving the new body design, but they were just starting to kind of get things right with Grunt and Stalker.
I don't remember the guy's name, so I don't mean it derogatorily, but simply I just can't remember his name. But the minute we stopped seeing Mustache in the Hasbro videos and announcements and everything else, it felt to me like it was gone. So it felt to me like it was gone for over 6 months.
I would agree. It's always been the 4-inch figures since the relaunch of G.I. Joe have always kind of been an afterthought or a soft inclusion. Like, there's not a lot of effort or energy from what I'm seeing product-wise and video-wise. It doesn't seem like there's a lot getting put into it.
I mean, Hasbro looks like a 6-inch company now, right? Like, where's your 4-inch Marvel Legends?
Fair enough.
Where's your 3 3/4 or 4-inch Star Wars outside of the retro line? I mean, I know there's a little bit in Star Wars, but Star Wars is a different beast. But Star Wars Black Series, where's the 4-inch? It's gone. It feels, and I'm no authority here. I'm speculating as much as anybody, but it feels like a 6-inch company now. It feels like 6-inch is the go forward and no one gives a shit about. Kind of the same way as what, 2006, when they quit putting O-rings in and they moved to the
modern construction.
And I'm sure there were plenty of people that were in your seat feeling hurt of like, hey, I've invested all this time and energy into these awkward, weird bodies the way you did with 25th. You know, and now, like, you're just cutting it? Like, we're just done?
The unpopular thing here is stepping forward. By the time they abandon the O-rings, the weird, awkward, main in-store release of G.I. Joe figures.
Small head, big shoulders, yes.
So when they walked away from the last version of O-ring, which was widely unpopular with collectors after the fact, people were buying it when it was in stores. When they introduced the 25th, yes, there was definitely plenty of people upset, and I understand, because the thing that, you know, you and I have talked about is the synergy. You know, modern figures don't work with all vintage vehicles, they don't work with foot pegs. I definitely understand. But what kills me about this HasLab project is we're stepping back in time. In my opinion, it's not like a grand thing. So if you look at the other HasLabs, all of these things are centerpieces of collections. I don't think that a Sky Striker is the centerpiece of a G.I. Joe collection.
No. It's a nice display in my son's room, but it's not a centerpiece of our collection. And a Sky Striker really isn't a centerpiece. It's just most people hang them from ceilings.
I don't mean that as in like the Sky Striker is not a fabulous vehicle, because it is. I'm saying it is not a flag. It's not a Defiant. It's not big. It's not like you walk in the room and you're like, what is that beach ball sized thing with orange or with yellow tentacles coming off of it? You know, what is that 3 or 4 foot sail barge sitting over there? What, you know, it's.
You build a Sky Striker display, but you don't build your room around a Sky Striker. Right. I mean, I get it. I love the Sky Striker. And the only reason why I haven't picked up a lot of the foreign stuff that I'm still looking for is, whew, it's getting heavy out there. If I want my Sky Strikers to be a centerpiece, you're talking about 10 plus Sky Strikers that make a centerpiece, not one.
The other thing that's kind of mind-boggling to me about this being a HasLab event, they fixed the landing gear and the wing issue. They've added 2 separate levers.
Which is amazing.
They have, you know, redesigned the seats with cloth parachutes.
Also amazing.
But overall, it's the same size.
Sure.
I'm assuming, now again, assuming being the key word here. I'm assuming that they are going to be able to use parts of the existing modern Skystriker mold, whether it be, I don't know. But the thing that kills me is we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Domestic release, there's 9 Skystrikers. There's the original, the Boomer, and then the modern ones. And there's 7 moderns.
That's what I was trying to stumble to, is we've had 7 modern Skystrikers between the club and mass retail.
Yes.
In 2011, when they brought back the mold, it was $39.99 with one figure. When it was a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover with Starscream, or the Starscream slash Cobra Commander, it was $50. The club's prices are kind of crazy. So the Night Boomer and the Sky Patrol were $145 and $160 with no pilots.
Wait, $145 and $160 for the clubs, but Starscream with Commander was $50? I mean, I paid more than that by the time I got it, but still, that's a huge jump.
So it's about to get crazier.
Okay, hit me with the crazier.
In 2013, they did another G.I. Joe Transformers crossover set that came with Jetfire. It came with 3 figures and a vamp. And a little statue of Ravage.
I mean, that Ravage is dope.
Let me just run this down one more time. We got a Skystriker with a new tool drone that you didn't have to use. You could put the fins on. 3 4-inch action figures, a vamp, and a little Ravage dog for $108. In 2015, they did another SDCC G.I. Joe exclusive. No Transformers this time. But it was the flip-flop. You had the Cobra Skystriker, the G.I. Joe Hiss, and 4 figures for $119.
So still cheaper than the clubs.
Yes. This is the most egregious part to me price-wise. The 50th anniversary standard retail release, which was a Skystriker, a Hiss tank, and 4 figures, was $59.99.
What year was that?
That was 2015.
Okay, so 6 years.
So now, for $230... If nothing gets unlocked, for $230, you get a Skystriker, 2 figures, a fuel cart, a missile cart, a display stand, and blast effects. That's a huge departure from $59.99.
That is not 6 years of inflation, sure.
It's not 6 years of inflation. I don't think they've changed enough. Like, retooling vintage seats and redesigning a cockpit to look like it's from the 80s doesn't really hit the 230 mark. I guess if you look at it from a vintage standpoint, if you were to, you know, I had you look it up right before we started recording, a complete vintage Skystriker with parachutes, you know, you're over $200. So were they basing the price off of the vintage eBay price? I don't know. But it's crazy to me that from 2015 to 2021, you know, we're going from Skystriker, 4 figures, and a Hiss tank for $60.
A $180 price hump, effectively the same amount of plastic.
From what I understand, the rules of HasLab, now, there's no contract, you know what I mean? This is just the fine print. They say, you know, if you back this HasLab project, we promise you that these won't end up on retail shelves. So, are they going to just repackage the modern Skystriker and call it retro for Walmart and just have one seat in it? You know what I mean? Like,
I would buy that.
For $40, I'd buy it too. If they follow their own rules, this is supposed to be a one and done. We're allegedly never going to see the Skystriker again at mass retail. Now, are they going to, you know, are they going to remove all the extras and just say, here's the jet for X amount? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I would feel as a consumer because I'm already agitated going into this because of the price point and because of the amount of Skystrikers that have existed.
You know, your breakdown of price and time frame is eye-opening and a bit disturbing, and yet I'm still crazy excited to get another Skystriker. So maybe that's a bit of... And I wish this wasn't a HasLab because I would love to go into a retail shop with A and grab a Skystriker off the shelf.
That's the other thing is, you know, they said the retro line is being rebranded or reborn, and then they showed off Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow.
Yeah.
But they also stated that those are Hasbro Pulse retro O-ring exclusive.
Right.
Does that mean that the G.I. Joe retro line will exist at Walmart? I don't know. I think that the use of the word retro was a terrible decision from the start, and I've said this before. You've said this before. Everybody in the universe has said this before. If they would have picked a different vehicle from the history of G.I. Joe that could flirt both sides, obviously, I would love a modern whale. If they would have used the HasLab to launch a 3¾/4-inch scaled whale, that would be, it would, at this point, it would have to be completely redesigned, because from what we're told, most of the O-ring stuff has been destroyed or lost to the sands of time. If you took the whale and you improved its shortcomings, you know, fix the vanes.
Fix the front eyelets that are always breaking.
Fix the, you know, the arms on the missile pods. Fix the little scout bike. Fix the sled that shoots out to actually fit a figure. What I'm saying here is, for $350, if you were to compare it to the Razor Crest, if you gave us a whale that was 1.5 to 2 times the size of the vintage, and you don't need foot pegs on a whale. Modern figures fit perfectly in a whale. They don't look too big. Vintage figures don't look too small. It's a vehicle that could flirt everything but classified. So technically, if you reintroduce the whale, you could sell it to O-ring heads, you could sell it to modern heads. Everybody wins. The thing that I just keep coming back to is just, the Sky Striker was brought back in 2011. Its last release was in the last era.
2017, right?
2011 was the 30th, and 2015 was the last modern release Sky Striker on a shelf of a store. Not the club. Like, this is like, you can walk into Toys R Us and you can buy it. You know, if you go to any toy show, you can find 2 or 3 versions of the modern Sky Striker for sale at any given point in time. You can find handfuls of vintage Sky Strikers for sale at any toy show. Now, and I'm not saying this in to say that you can't find a whale at a toy show, because you can, but you're not putting the vanes out on display.
Yeah, I bought 3D printed vanes for when we play. My good vanes are put away. And that's both for the whale and the Night Striker.
The main reason I brought the whale up in terms of like HasLab and what you could do is that vehicle can flirt both sides. I'm also looking at it from the perspective of, if you know, 1.5 to 2 times the size of the whale, imagine what you could put inside the fold-out part. A vamp, an awe striker.
Oh, yeah, that'd be incredible.
Anything. A giant reconfigured whale, a figure that, or a vehicle that we haven't seen since the original in the Night Force. I mean, I think there was rumors that it was supposed to be available in 95, but we have not seen the whale since the original A-Ra run.
Since 89, yeah.
Again, the fragility of some of these pieces. The whale is a hot topic at any show because there's parts that are beyond delicate. And then when you enter the Night Striker territory, forget about it.
I had a Night Striker vane disintegrate in my hand as I lifted it out of the box that came in the mail. So I owned a complete, it was my 4th vane. And in 30 seconds, I was back down to 3. It was a painful, painful day.
That's really my biggest, the biggest thing that has me sad and bummed is not even that they're like potentially abandoning 4-inch. The thing that really just like deflated my spirits, Sky Striker? Again?
The problem is, from your perspective, they're taking the easy route out.
There's a couple positives I'll throw out. The fact that they licensed it and now it's officially licensed Tomcat or whatever, like, yeah, that's cool. You could have just done that and put a $100 sticker on it and put it on a Walmart shelf. Here's the other ugly thing that never gets said. Well, I guess it does get said, but I'm going to say it here. Our community thought that $39.99 for a Sky Striker and $39.99 for the Eagle Hawk were too expensive. Both vehicles.
Oh, I paid more than that for my Sky Striker, and I still haven't bought an Eagle Hawk because I can't find one for under $200.
Both vehicles went on clearance. The other part of this that really stresses me out more than anything, we're still under half backers. I mean, there's a long ways to go. If this fails,
We won't see another Hasbro Pulse or HasLab if this fails.
We won't see a HasLab for anything under 6-inch. I think it's inevitable that we will get something for G.I. Joe Classified via HasLab.
At this very moment, we're at 46%.
I guess I have Sky Striker fatigue, the same way that you and, you know, A, both kind of have Snake Eyes Storm Shadow fatigue at this point.
When the 10-year-old isn't excited, like he thought it was cool, he's excited to see O-Ring back, but when he was disappointed that it was Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, that's telling.
All right, so I completely went off the rails and got a little bit more nitpicky than I wanted to. I'm assuming a lot of that, some of that's going to get cut out. Please and thank you, Jason. I had a great weekend of hauls. The Saturday of PulseCon, I went to Niagara Falls, rode the Maid of the Mist. It was about 43, 44 degrees. It was very cold. Because of the weather, the boat was not crowded. It was a lot of fun. And I went to a couple stores, didn't really find anything, but spent plenty of time, you know, hammering on my phone to get those pre-orders. The next day, I drove back to Buffalo to go to the flea market. Like, everywhere I went, it seems like I found something.
You sent a ton of pictures of O-Ring stuff, and the whole weekend, I was just like, well, now's your time to become an O-Ring collector. Buy it all.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, now is not the time to start collecting O-Rings.
I mean, Hasbro's putting it out. Now's the time. Let's go. Go back to the flea market. Buy it all.
I found the new Jada Toys, like, weird-sized vamp paired with the little micro metal Duke figure.
Yeah.
That vamp is amazing.
Really?
It's got rubber tires.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
The little nano diecast figure is not good. That vamp is worth the $6 or $10 or whatever it was. I'm going to buy another one. It is awesome. It is cool.
So you're now army building Jada Toys micro vamps?
Yes.
15 to 27?
I got a mail haul of the Retro Grunt and the Retro Officer that I came home to after a crazy day where I found a 3¾-inch modern Doctor Who figure that had a sonic screwdriver, so I can chuck the figure because it's the 11th Doctor and I can keep the sonic screwdriver. I had a bit of like a crazy and up and down moment. I found one of the weird Avatar toy line vehicles that's like this crazy sci-fi twin blade helicopter crazy little thing. I've always wanted one of these. It's a hot toy. I found it for $30 and I was like, all right, this is less than eBay. And I got home, I opened up the box. The box was sealed and then I realized it was retaped. There was some box damage and it was missing half the vehicle. It looks like there was two trays inside of it, and one of the trays is gone. The other stuff had never been removed from the tray. There was still tape over it. So I don't think someone, like, pulled the cockpit out and was like, I'll repackage this and sell it. I think it got damaged somewhere. Someone looked at it, was like, oh, yeah, it's here, and taped it and sold it.
Is there enough for you to chop it up custom style or turn it into, like, a Dio crash?
I'm gonna take a shot at it. I have one of the weird Retaliation, like, they called it, like, Ghost Hawk 2 or something. I don't know. It's a goofy toy that's kind of cool. I think I'm going to take that and try to drill some holes and see if I can retrofit the stuff from this onto that. But the big toy item that I found, I've talked about it before. I love weird brand world-building stuff. I love Schleich. I love Bruder. I love, you know, whatever. I love Playmobil. Anything that I can fit in with a 4-inch figure. There's this massive, like, hut playset that has, like, a straw roof and animal gates in the back. It's called, like, a, you know, jungle animal sanctuary or something. The playset's huge. And it is awesome. It is huge. It is a great set piece. I'm going to be able to use it for multiple things.
Well, now we just need to see photos with it.
Hey, that's true.
Was that aggressive? Was that aggressive?
I mean, you're calling me on my shit, and I appreciate it. The biggest come up for me, though, even above that awesome playset, is I found two of the Adventure Team Record Storybook 7-inch 45 combos.
Oh, those are so good. I just want the books. I don't need the 7-inch, but having both is kind of special.
So I think there's one or two more. Like, I'm going to aggressively seek those out now. I have one of the A-Rod era record book combos, 7-inch storybook combos, and that is hilarious because the voice actors are, whew.
I mean, that's what they are on the Special Mission Brazil as well, so.
Just absolutely horrendous. You know, I got some Marauder stuff in and I built some custom figures that I'm really hyped about. But I also bought a house, like a real life house, not a 1/18 scale house.
Congratulations on that, which also means that once you close and move in, we, the Royal We, need to start seeing pictures of the toy room as you're building it out. From concrete floor zero to look at my Dio station, look at my crazy shit on the walls, all of it.
The house that we got has the perfect basement for me. And I'm going to build half of it into a collection room built to my specs so I don't have to try to fit shelving around an existing room. It's going to be awesome. I've already started like drawing stuff up. I've already been talking to, you know, a couple of my buddies that are going to help me build it out. I'm definitely going to be documenting the whole thing. You know, this is one of the main reasons I bought the house.
In this toy room, is that where Inn's Lego and everything else will go? Or is she going to have a separate space for that?
We were talking about that this morning, and I'm going to just build her own room that shares a wall with mine, but it will be separate. I'm excited to be able to, like, spread my collection out.
I'm just looking forward to you having your own space, seeing it come to life. Hopefully there's ideas that I can steal, borrow. So it's going to be fun, and I'm excited, and congratulations.
I'm definitely going to borrow some of your ideas for the shelves that you haven't talked about yet, which I'm going to pass the torch after you hear, but
sure,
I'm definitely about to be borrowing some of that because that stuff is perfect. So why don't you tell us about it?
I commissioned some bookshelves, toy shelves. Well, he got them done and he delivered half. The bottom piece is two big bays that are deep enough and tall enough that I could slide the Defiant into one and the Terradrome into the other. They don't touch the floor. They're completely covered by the wood. A can now pull both of them out on his own. We put the Terradrome on a little roundabout, so he doesn't even have to pull it out to be able to play with it. But it's no longer on the floor at the bottom of our toy closet.
That's amazing.
The top part, the bottom row, is the same size as IKEA Calyx. So I can slide the black bins that we have, like his Nerf guns or his costuming stuff. I can slide those into here, or his Transformers. And then above that is just some nice open shelving. Hopefully we can get some of the toys that are lining the floor in front of the bookshelf, behind the couch, just randomly against the wall, up and into these things. When the second half shows up, that'll have room for, if we ever get a general, and if we don't, it'll have room for plenty of other things. And then the third bay, I'll be able to slide the MCC in. I can put the superstructure of the flag in there beside the MCC, and I'll still have room for, I don't know, Boulder Hill. So again, we're taking care of these big items that currently sit on the floor and will get destroyed just from being on the floor. You know, and then above that is the exact same. So the configuration is the same. It's going to be amazing. It's already amazing with just half in there. I'm also excited that I'll be able to stretch my books out a little bit. Because right now, like I've told you, my bookshelf is a disaster. It's 3 deep. It's stacked on top of the 3 deep. It's, if I want to buy a book, I need to get rid of like 5, and I don't want to get rid of any. Legitimately, I probably find some books to rehome, but getting rid of books it goes against the grain for me. So one time I read Maria Kondo's Tidying Up book and Minimalist Living, and I went, okay, this makes sense. Okay, this makes sense. Okay, what'd you say about books? Nah. That's the big thing that I've gotten lately. The other thing that I'm crazy excited about that I got was, so In Case Collectibles reached out and said, hey, I finished these two custom cases I made for you. A beautiful collector's case, or a beautiful custom case for my Chinese knockoff Roadblock. So he is now encased and displayed and protected. And a non-toy one. I drove a tiny Ford Ranger for like 20 years. Those are the baby trucks, right? Or whenever I was driving it, people always called it a bitch truck. It was a four banger stick shift. If I turned off the air, I could get all four cylinders out of it. I could cruise around corners in third gear. I drove it like a little go-kart. And I legitimately loved that truck. I'm not a truck person. You've met me. I'm not a truck person. But for whatever reason, I loved that truck. I got it because that's what I could afford at the time. I couldn't afford anything else. I went into it, you know, hoping for the best and ended up with 20 years out of a vehicle that I still think about, like buying a Ranger and spending toy money on, you know, fixing up a Ranger, which is completely a waste of money and time and effort just to have like a little four banger to zip around in. I have a GTI because I am used to small and zippy. Granted, that GTI is a lot more power than that Ranger ever did.
I was going
to
say.
Volkswagen makes a much better vehicle than the Ford Ranger. But when they reannounced the Ford Rangers, I got excited until I saw that it was the new big body small trucks. And I was like, I'm out.
People clowned on the S10 and the Ranger, the Nissan mini truck, until they were off the market. And then there was like, those are actually surprisingly handy. It's kind of the perfect size truck for a non-work guy.
I legitimately just enjoyed that ride.
When you sent the photo over, I was like, I was way more impressed and enamored with the Ford Ranger shift knob and key in the case.
Yeah, when she died, that's what I kept. I jerked the shift knob right out of there. I took the key.
When this episode dropped, the very next day, you will be in flight to AR.
That is true. The very next day, yes.
I can't wait to see pictures and hear about AR. Because once again, I have to sit on the sidelines for AR.
Last year, they pivoted since they couldn't do a physical thing and they did armor. And they shipped out a box and I bought, you know, the captain or whatever the big package was. Because I like supporting them. They're awesome. And then this year, they did armor too. And it was equally as incredible. Prior to that, they always had t-shirts and custom figures, maybe a custom this or that. But they kind of went with the box idea again. Now, I'm sure they're probably going to have other things that weren't in their gearbox. I don't know. I did certainly order the gearbox for this show, even though like I haven't purchased their custom figures in the past because 4-inch modern, it's not going to get played with by A. So I've let those go to people that will enjoy them. I had to be in on this gear thing. I'm looking forward to seeing the RoboSkull. I'm looking forward to whatever Jody Classified is going to put on. Callsign Longbow is going to be there. Raging Spoon is going to be there. I'm looking forward to this show. And I do hope that next year you're not buying any more houses and can make it. Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.